and encourage everyone to exercise their right to vote. Polls open at 6 and close at 7. And there's Mark Twain and Cedar Creek Precinct will have nothing to vote on, so they will not have polls there. And a very small part of Bradleyville, only those that are within the Central Fire District will have anything to vote on. If they have any questions, they can call the Taney County Clerk's Office.
Accounts payable.
Move to approve checks number 462891 through 462957. No warrants or journal entries or transfers.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Approval of previous meeting minutes, regular session minutes for March 29th and March 31st, 2021, and executive session minutes for March 29th, 2021.
I have nothing.
Move to approve executive session minutes for March 29th, 2021.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Move to approve regular session minutes for March 29th, 2021, and March 31st, 2021.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Presentation of delinquent tax books and collector's annual year-end settlement per Chapter 139 of the Revised Missouri Statutes 139.160 and 139.190 and 52.361.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
As you said, I'm here to present the delinquents book. I emailed them all to you, and then I had an amended for the 2020, and I emailed that as well. So I have my totals for the back tax books of $22,710,024.94. The clerk will file the Form 1313 with the state, and then it will be entered into my collector's annual report and be charged to collect that again this next year.
How much did you say the delinquent tax book was?
$22,710,024.94. I gave you a new form this morning.
And what is the largest part of that delinquent real estate book?
The largest part of my delinquencies are the SIDs. I have a delinquent SIDs on real estate of $18,707,790.50. That's 86% of my delinquent real estate goes to the SID districts.
So that just leaves barely $3 million that's actually delinquent.
$3 million real estate, and I have $1,060,000 personal property. And I know it doesn't pertain to last year's, but I did have a really good month for March and collected over $1 million that was distributed this morning.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I move that we accept the delinquent tax books, the personal and the real estate, for 2000 for the years as presented into record.
Second with discussion.
We have a second with discussion.
So explain, we do this every year.
Mm-hmm.
By doing this, do we normally have 86% of being SID? I don't remember being this high.
I think it was about 84, 83%.
Was it that last year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems like it increases around $2.5 million per year. I kind of made me a quick note here if I brought it. I did not. But it's been $2.5 million in 20, $2.7 million in 19, and $2.6 million in 18. So it depends on what I get charged. I've got the same parcels on the book since 2011 on about 233 parcels. So it depends on if they increase their SIDs in a year or if they leave them the same. But That's why it fluctuates each year, but that's just on the base. That's not counting penalties and interest on it.
How many different SIDs do we have in the county?
Well,
is this just mainly one?
Two SID districts, Branson Commerce Park, Branson Hills.
Okay.
And there's two SIDs in Commerce Park, one larger and then one a smaller SID, mm-hmm. but they're on all the parcels there. Like I said, I have 233 that are currently being offered over the counter and will be offered at the 2021 tax sale August 23rd. Mm-hmm. So I have the opportunity to sell those this year.
But then those dues are still...
Going forward, I have, I'm going to sell them for the highest bid this year if they are an ex property.
That should help them move along.
So then there could be, well, okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Hopefully next year at this time it'll be a different story. That's my goal.
So we have a second. We're ready to go. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay, next I'm here to... I've provided a copy of the collector's annual settlement formatted according to the Department of Revenue and the State Auditor's Office. It's three pages. Page one is just an overview of all the charges, credits, and distributions. And you'll see that everything that was collected was distributed. That was a total of $64,736,749.36. We've already discussed kind of the delinquencies and where the majority of the delinquencies lay. On page three, you're going to see some of the services that the collector's office accounts for. There was a decrease of about $7,800 on merchant liquor and auctioneer. I believe COVID played a factor in that. We had businesses that were closed. Some of them did not reopen or renew their liquor license. And because I did not have a tax sale in 2020, I did not have any tax sale surplus to turn over to the treasurer.
You saw the decrease because some of the businesses were closed and stuff.
I had a lot that closed, and a lot of times we do have businesses that close or sell, but then you see them turn around and reopen under new management, and I haven't seen that happen as quickly this year yet.
Just a point is I've had a couple of businesses come to me that they didn't think they were going to be able to reopen because they cannot get the help. They want to stay on unemployment due to the extra unemployment they're getting from the federal government.
That's very unfortunate.
Yeah. He said he was hope one of them was going to try to keep the one here open, but he could not see that he could open his one in Branson.
And if the commission is satisfied, I would ask that the collector settlement be entered into record, and the clerk of the commission certifies the amount to the director of revenue according to RSMO 139.190.
I have no questions.
No.
Did you say no?
I don't have any questions.
I don't.
I move that the collector's annual settlement be entered into the record.
Do you want the, by statute, do we need to have that the clerk will certify?
Mm-hmm. That was there at the...
The amounts. Or does that need to be in there, Sheila, or do you know?
Pardon?
Entering in the record, but do we also need to certify the clerk to... I'm asking.
Well, we can. That's part of the statute. That's her job. It's in the statute for her to do that.
Does it need to be part of the motion or not?
Okay. I will. I move that the collector's settlement be entered into the record and the county clerk certify it with the State Department of Revenue and... I think it is the Department of Revenue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Insurance discussion with John Akers.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Well, as I'd suggested when we first got here, this is just kind of a quick update for you guys to kind of look at how we ended up, and you guys made a couple of changes as far as your contribution levels and things like that. I thought you'd be interested to kind of look at the numbers and see where we are. So you're familiar with this report, same kind of one we've gone over several times in the past. First page just walks through claims. One thing that is probably of more interest is looking at subscribers and dependents as far as what the costs are for those. And what you'll see, and the report actually jumps around a little bit, but from a subscriber standpoint, the inpatient costs for your employees, the subscriber, is actually very low in this time period, and actually it's fairly high for the dependents on the plan. But then when you look at the outpatient, it's completely flipped. So the employees are going for outpatient versus the dependents that did not have much in services. As you look down, physicians is weighted towards subscriber, but we have more subscribers on the plan, so you would expect that. And then other services are pretty nominal in relation to your overall spend, so it just kind of gives you a little snapshot of where the money's going and delineating between subscribers and dependents. The next page is just graphical representations of what we just went over. Roughly 50-50 as far as spend goes on dependents versus subscribers.
When you mentioned inpatient on dependents was greater, was there number of dependents greater this year that have joined the plan?
There are some more. There's not a huge number more, but I think the predominance of it is a couple of very large plans.
Oh, okay.
And we'll hit that as the last report.
I understand.
And if you then look at the monthly breakout, this is where it tells us a little bit about where we went. If you looked almost to the bottom of the report, this report is run from March through February, but you can see January 1, we had 122 dependent units, and we jumped to 139 dependent units, so we did gain 17. I asked a few more questions. That's 6 spouses and 11 employee child. But if you recall, employee child, you can have 1 or 10, and so that's more children than that, more than likely. The average is 2.3 or something kids per contract, typically, mm-hmm. something like that. So those 11 units represent more people. But that's the impact.
Real quick, in June of 2020, there was 135 dependent. Mm-hmm. So
it's just kind of jumped all over the board where people, and I don't, you know, it's possible that maybe a spouse works somewhere else and they just, if it's a better deal to go on the spouse's plan this year versus last, you know, this year, maybe it's a better deal to go on over here. So you'll see some of that.
If you're going to have a procedure, you'd go with which insurance was better to pay
for
off
that
on that
specific
procedure.
Yeah, that too. The next page is of interest to me because on the pharmacy side of the house, our staff is by far taking the most prescriptions, or at least the cost. There's 400,000 in pharmacy costs and only 45,000 for dependents. So that is obviously quite a disparity. So just kind of an interesting look, but there are some high dollar drugs that there's a report coming up here that we can kind of take a look at. But that's where that money's going. If you look at your billed premiums, the loss ratio, if you add up the numbers we just went through, would be 90.38%. Mm-hmm. However, when we get to the shock losses, you're going to see several, or two, actually, shock losses, but one of them quite large, that is going to dramatically reduce that loss ratio. If you take out